You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Why November is going to come out of my mouth, I have no idea. February, or whatever, however we pronounce that. Good morning to you. Hope you're having a good day. I intend to. Get to do post-traumatic winning today, so fired up about that. Right, headed down to Camp Pendleton, the home of the 1st Marine Division, baby. The Blue Diamond, the national treasure known as the Blue Diamond. That's right. Cuba warns the United States about intervention. I can't even say that without laughing. Like, what? And then what? What are you going to do? You're trying to get us to invade you, aren't you? Because you want all that money. Because you know we'll fuck it up. We'll throw money everywhere. The riches that you didn't get plundering a country, you would certainly receive after we invaded you. Yeah, welcome to our house. Too funny. Yeah, I just saw that headline. Made me laugh. So let me tell you what we're going to do today. We are going to have the Black Helicopter Brothers are coming on again today. Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny. And let's everybody back away from the love fest with those two morons. So just dial that shit down, okay? Dial that shit down. So that's going on today. And then the other thing, kind of a special little because I love you kind of a thing. And Valentine's Day was, what, less than a week ago. Still basking in the afterglow of Valentine's Day. Yeah, all of that. I'm going to play a little bonus coverage for the hour. One of the coolest interviews I've ever done, and it has to do with Iwo Jima, and that is the interview that I did with Cal Humphrey. Cal's nephew, Jess, is a friend of mine. I met Jess's brother when I was an instructor at the basic school. Did not know that that was him, and his older brother named Bob Humphrey was a major teaching out at AWS when I was at the basic school. And he had a reputation of being a great guy. When the basic or the amphibious warfare school was kind of the whole maneuver warfare thing kind of being discussed in the Marine Corps, amphibious warfare school, having none of it. Yeah. Sorry. We will not be ensnared in that bullshit. Okay, you might want to, though, because it's coming from the Commandant. I'm just saying, I know you guys are your own, like, metropolis over there, but... Yeah, so Bob Humphrey. But anyway, their uncle, their father, Robert Humphrey, who wrote Leadership for a New Millennium. You should check that book out. It's on the reading list here at All Marine Radio. Mac, All Marine Radio has a reading list. It does right. It does now. It just started one. And Humphrey's book is near the top of it. Anyway, you know how they taught respect and hard work? They boxed. That's right. Simple, because out of boxing came what? Respect for your opponent. Yeah. Out of boxing came humility. So his interview, and he fought on Iwo Jima, went ashore as a PFC, and became a squad leader over the course of time, and then was wounded, and was medevaced. And he and his brother on the island at the same time. Because Bob Humphrey, Robert Humphrey, he was, I think, a first lieutenant on Iwo Jima. And his younger brother, PFC. Yeah, how about that? So he tells that story. And, you know, it's what I love about the interview is that he talks about, meeting John Bazelow, drinking beer with him in Hawaii. Yeah, at the slop shoot. So, you know, we hear those words as Marines, and then you hear somebody use them, right? You know, we're in Hawaii, we're training, and when we're done, or our days we're not out in the field, you know, we go buy beer for a nickel at the slop shoot. And John, he was a great guy. That's what. So you're listening to somebody talk in the first person, you know, and it's just really cool. So after the end of the black helicopter, brothers, yeah, those guys. After the end of that, then you'll hear the Cal Humphrey interview. So, and again, on a week that we remember, hell, on a month that we remember Iwo Jima. And so Tet started in January, towards the end of February, Iwo Jima. And so on the Marine Corps calendar, always a big deal, always a big deal. And particularly to me, because I've studied the battle and enjoy discussing it. In fact, I had a discussion with Jeff Kinney last night about it. So we'll reenact that thing a little bit for you today. So, and as I did yesterday, as we get the show going this morning, I want to play some audio from Iwo Jima of the time. All right. So this is a news report, right? It might be from CBS News. I'm not sure, but here you go.
We interrupt the program now in progress to bring you a special report from Guam. This report will come to you via special military facilities and is being released at this time to the combined American networks. Now for the special news from Advanced Naval Headquarters, far out in the Pacific, we take you to Guam. Go ahead, Guam.
The following communique has this minute been issued by C.W. Nimitz, Fleet Admiral, U.S. Navy, Commander-in-Chief, U.S. Pacific Fleet and Pacific Ocean Areas. The communique. Vice Admiral Mark A. Mitcher is in command of a powerful task force of the Pacific Fleet, is now attacking enemy aircraft, air bases, and other military targets in and around Tokyo. Surface units of the Pacific Fleet are bombarding Iwo Jima. Aircraft of the Strategic Air Force Pacific Ocean Areas are bombing Iwo Jima and nearby positions in the Balloons. The fleet forces are under the tactical command of Admiral R.A. Spruance, Commander, 5th Fleet. This is Art Prim, returning you to the United States.
This is Leslie Nichols speaking from a battleship which is not far off the Volcano Island. We have just come under attack, and our guns have opened up. And just now, our guns, or at least the guns of one of the forts, have shot down an enemy plane. It has fallen over on the horizon, just ahead of us. We're steaming in the direction of it, and now it appears that we can see just the remnants of the plane burning on the water up ahead. I can dimly make out in the light of a little more than a new moon the shadows of the other ships around us. There go our guns again. High up on the foremast tower of this battleship. There's a great deal of smoke around the port. You just heard our 5-inch shells go again. That is a report that planes are circling the ship. We may open up at any moment. There seems to be an enemy plane off the port beam directly across from me here. This broadcast from a battleship of with the 5th Fleet, some 60 miles off the island of Iwo Jima. And just now, here's a flash report. The admiral of our group tells us that we deserve a well done for having shot down that gas plane. And you ought to see the gunners and all the crew of this mighty battleship rejoicing now, because it happens to be their first gas plane.
60 miles off the coast? What the hell is that? All right. Listen to this. Here's another first live report.
We are delaying the start of our scheduled program to bring you a special CBS World News broadcast. For an interview with an eyewitness to the fighting on Iwo Jima, the first man back from that island, we take you to CBS Washington, Tris Coffin reporting.
The first man back from the great battle at Iwo Jima is sitting before the CBS microphone in the Navy Department in Washington. He is Lieutenant Commander John W. McClain.
What? Lieutenant Commander? Are you kidding me? He's a Navy guy? What the hell?
In charge of naval photographers at Iwo Jima.
He's a photo guy?
The commander has been flying 3 days.
What? Does he have work to do? What the hell is he doing back?
He's spent 4 days and nights without sleep. He's still dressed in his tan fatigue uniform with an old leather jacket. Commander, the American people have been deeply stirred by the great battle at Tokyo's front door. Suppose you tell us something about it.
Well, on D-Day, I was in a landing ship, an LCI. In pretty close range, it seemed too close at times. I saw the whole show from the Navy bombardment up until the time I left.
What was this Navy bombardment like?
I had a good seat for the show, and I can tell you I never saw such a bombardment in my life. I saw the landings in Africa and Normandy, and they can't compare with the concentration from the sea and carrier-based planes. It was hard to believe that any human being could be left alive on the island after that naval fire.
But they were. I know it's a head-scratcher, but guess what? They were underground there, Lieutenant Commander.
It had its effect, too. When the first waves of Marines went ashore, the Japs were stunned. There was only meager fire from the enemy, and it was a magnificent sight, all the landing ships lined up along the beaches and out to sea.
Yeah, but the rest of the story is this. They were holding their fire until they got enough targets on the beach, and then they let it rip.
And the Marines pulling their way through the deep volcanic ash headed for the airfield in the middle of the island.
Can you tell us something about the island and the Jap defenses, Commander?
Well, if you'd set out to build an impregnable fortress, you couldn't do any better than copy Iwo Jima. Mount Suribachi at the southern tip of the island is a junior Gibraltar. It stands more than 500 feet high, and the sides are packed with caves and hidden gun emplacements. This mountain commands the entire island. The southern end of the island is a mass of caves and ravines and underground pillboxes. And the beaches are volcanic sand. It impedes even walking and makes the movement of heavy equipment very difficult. The Jap guns had control of the entire beach area where our men had to land. From the landing ship, I could see great plumes of water spurt high in the air from Japanese fire coming from both directions. In the initial landings, the Marines took the edge of the beach. The Jap coastal guns had been knocked out by naval gunfire. The first three waves that went in were landing craft tanks that nosed right up to the beach. They were followed by Higgins boats. It was less than an hour after the naval bombardment ended that the Japs opened up with all their machine guns, mortars, and artillery.
No.
They'd recovered from their daze by then. Their guns from Mount Suribachi and the area to the southern to the south zeroed the beaches. Must have been hell on the beaches when that Jap fire began. And you'll remember the first waves met with little opposition. We could see the Marines digging in when the Japs opened up.
Did it take the Marines long to reform their lines and start the attack again, Commander?
No, they were stuck a few hundred yards inland until about noon. Then in the afternoon, they began to advance with tanks. We saw the tanks fan out and move up toward the high ground with the Marines following right behind them on foot. All the time, naval gunfire and airstrikes were giving them close support.
What kind of seas did you have for the invasion, Commander?
Well, the first day was swell. The seas were fairly calm. But the next day, the sky was ugly and overcast, and the waves began piling up. That, of course, made the job of landing supplies and reinforcements tough. After a day of fighting, the beaches were a picture of desolation. The litter and debris of war was all around. Damaged landing ships, equipment, and weapons.
Commander, what kind of air support did the Marines get during the invasion?
Carrier planes were coming in all the time for strikes. There wasn't a moment when the air was free of planes. Dive bombers came right down on the deck. Rockets and bombs were smashing at the Japs. The noise of the planes and the shore fire was terrific.
Commander, how did you manage to get out of Iwo Jima?
Well, that's a story in itself. I went from the landing craft to a Navy PBM on D+1. At the time we were in the PBM trying to get off, anti-aircraft batteries were firing at us. I couldn't see how we were going to get in the air, but the pilot calmly said, "We've got a little gadget here that'll get us off." It was jet propulsion. He pressed a red button, and we shot 40 feet in the air. From there, we flew to Saipan, Guam, and then home nonstop. I arrived here 4 hours ago.
Thank you, Commander McLean. I return you to CBS in New York.
This program has come to you from CBS World News. We now resume our scheduled program.
Play the music of the Cleveland Symphony Orchestra to bring you a special report.
The Cleveland Symphony Orchestra. So there you have it. Little break in the news. Commander flew in the PBY, that big-bellied kind of aircraft that lands on the water. Yeah, how about that jet-assisted takeoff? And you only thought that the C-130 did that for the Blue Angel show. Guess again, my friends. That's right. It was invented out of necessity. Got to get that thing out of the water with a heavy load in it. So yeah. I love listening to that kind of stuff. Our world's so much different than it is now. You can hear at one point that dude flipping the page. Right, on the script that they've written? How funny is that when you think of it now? And then the other thing that you hear now is like, from advanced naval bases. What does that mean? Like, what? Does that mean on the edge of the frontier, Admiral? Yes, it does, son. We're about to go over and find Magellan. A bygone day. When the world was different, when the way we covered war was different, and the world was at war. So anyway, but I love that stuff. I love history, and so hearing those kind of things, it makes me smile. So yeah, I remember the first time I heard of it. I'm like, all right, who's this going to be? Like, is it Boots Thomas or somebody like that when he came out? And was interviewed, like, no, it's not. It is a lieutenant commander. Like, what? All right. This makes it official this morning. The United States Marine Corps Band. Good morning to you. just dedicated to, again, to the Marines that went ashore that day. And their families. And, you know, they're the people that I think one of the interesting things about Iwo Jima is the way it was covered by the United States Navy, the War Department, and in particular the combat cameraman from the United States Marine Corps. The Marine Corps commissioned robust film and still picture effort on most of the islands they went to. And as a result, you know, you have footage of those fights that you tend not to have. And I dare say, I mean, they were easier to cover in that they tended to be big events that lasted for relatively short periods of time. So, and they were concentrated in a relatively small part of an island. So the island campaigns of World War II. So, anyway, this is it's dedicated to all those as part of that effort, as we remember one of the great fights in Marine Corps history.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speed. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make a jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. We got to win.
Winning. Significant. Currently raining and 31 degrees. I would say that's probably called a wintry mix in Quantico. Little rain mixed with snow, and that's not a good thing in Virginia. Yeah, exactly. They don't do enough driving in that stuff, and so that mix with the temperature headed south later on today will not be a good one. 49 degrees under cloudy skies at Camp Lejeune. Mostly sunny and 41 in Granbury, Texas. 29 Palms is sunny and 36. That ain't right. Cloudy and 36 at Camp Pendleton. This is ridiculous, I'm telling you. Currently it is dark, cloudy, and 70 in Okinawa. At least it's warming up someplace. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is dark, cloudy, and 58. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, clear, dark, and 50. On the coast in Southern California, it is 43 degrees under cloudy sky. Today, that's right, looking for a high of 57 with rain in the forecast. Tomorrow, partly sunny and 56. On Friday, sunny and 59. This is the craziest shit in the world. When's it going to end? When is this weather aggression going to end? And I don't see it. Like, look, we're talking about getting into the 60s by the first week in March. In the 60s, we don't do, like, March is 70s, man. It's crazy. Global warming. That's right, El Nino, whatever the hell that means. I don't know what those things mean. I say them, though, because everybody else does. That's right. All right, we're gonna take a break. Yeah, I know. I know what you're thinking. You're stupider than I thought. Exactly. All right, so do not touch this dial or any other dial. Stay away from the dials for the next few minutes. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the read board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made.
You can find this song now on a whole variety of streaming services, I guess. Yeah, it's a little media release by Peyton Davis Incorporated. Evidently, playing it on as a bumper on All Marine Radio has an impact. So, congratulations to her. Fine. Email Mac, where are you going? What are you doing today? Headed down to the 1st Marine Division. That's right. And fired up about it. So going to go speak at their commander's conference. And again, looking forward to doing that. Honestly, any time that I get a chance to go do this, it's the coolest experience because you have people that, you know, oh, here we go again. What's this? And then they're hooked, right? And then they're hooked. So it's wonderful. It's absolutely positively wonderful. And So, yeah, it's almost like some type of elixir, if you will. Yeah, go figure. It's almost like some kind of elixir and magic for the soul. And so I always am in a little bit better mood on days when I go do it. So, and also a chance to get to see, you know, friends I haven't seen in a while. And I get a chance to meet somebody who I've never met, who I've heard about for years. You know, because normally it's kind of weird because normally we know the same people, right? And if you've been around the Marine Corps for a while, it's not that big of a place. And so what happens is you bump into people. Well, it's odd that you know somebody from other people and you don't meet them for years and years and years, if ever. So I get a chance to meet the commanding officer of the 5th Marine Regiment today, George Schreffler. And I've heard about him for a long time. So, yeah, so gonna get a chance to meet him today. The news. I don't want to say that the news is kind of lame, but it's kind of lame. Navy Times or Marine Corps Times. How many stories are on the page with Donald Trump? Number one, Trump demands Europe take ISIS prisoners, America's latest ask in Syria. Well, I mean, if you're going to be part of the coalition, but you know what? We've allowed this to go on, right? We've allowed it to go on where, you kind of a la carte what you want to do. Oh, we'll do that. Yeah, we're not doing that. We'll do that. We're not doing that. We'll do that. We're not doing that. So yeah, I think we're a part of that. And one of the things that the America has done so that we'll have more people in that coalition, we can make that a big number. Yeah, they're going to come, but they don't do Windows. And we've allowed that. And it's a political reality, I guess, when you're playing that game. Next story. Troops do not view immigration as a national emergency, not even close. So there's another Trump story. Number three, White House promises using military funds to build Trump's border wall won't hurt force readiness. Number four, which construction projects would be affected if Trump uses military money to build a wall? Like, it's wall-to-wall Trump, man. Cannot get away, like, two-thirds of the earth is covered by water, the other third covered by Donald Trump and his stories. So, you know where you go to find news? Yeah, where I would tell you? Yeah, you should go to Stars and Stripes. They do hard news. Yeah, so to Stars and Stripes we go. Top headline, Air Force updates deploy or get out policy. 1,000 airmen could face separation. What? That's it? So if you're non-deployable for at least 12 months, those individuals face separation. Number two, New York Air National Guardsman accused of impersonating a CIA agent to impress a woman. Okay, so like, why is this a crime? Why is this a story? It's been going on for centuries. Do you know how many Navy SEALs appear around the country? Like, more than you could ever even fathom. Oh, I met this guy. He's a Navy SEAL. Really? Let me guess. You met him in a bar. How'd you know? Because I've heard the story. Cicero, New York. A New York man who police have accused of impersonating a CIA agent to impress a woman works for the New York Air National Guard as a drone camera operator, according to New York Air National Guard spokesman and an Air Force website. Staff Sergeant Ryan R. Hootalton, Hodulin. H-O-U-G-H-T-A-L-E-N. Hodulin. Right? Was charged with second-degree impersonation of a public servant, a misdemeanor, according to court records. After showing the woman a fake CIA ID, see, it's one thing to wear a jersey where you say, yeah, my name's Mark Simmet, like the gunner does, where you just have an alias, and then you start producing a fake CIA ID. Well, maybe he really wanted to impress her. Come on. He was telling her his job as a CIA agent is very dangerous. Yeah, come on, that's part of the stick. He was hoping to use that information to start a relationship with her. Exactly. He told the woman he met at church that because he was a CIA agent, both he and her were targets of ISIS, according to court documents. She became nervous and upset because he convinced her that her life may be in danger in order to... An order of protection was issued ordering Hodulin to stay away from her. Oh, my God. He enlisted in the Air National Guard in January 2012. He serves as an MQ-9 Reaper sensor operator. Now, let me tell you the picture that they have. So, if you're an MQ-9 Reaper operator, what do you think your uniform is? Is it a flight suit? Well, I mean, it can't be a flight suit, right? Because you're not a pilot. You're a video game player. But what do you think it is? Do you think they know they're video game players? No. They wear their Zoom bag. That's right. So, it's a bit humorous, the drone operators. We want to be pilots too, goddammit! Just because it's a video game, it doesn't mean that you have the right to shit on us. We're real pilots. And the real pilots, they're not having it. Yeah, they don't. So, we're in Afghanistan, right? And I should get Rudy on to talk about this. Because he gets pissed. Hold on. I'll call him. Yeah, he would get pissed because we're tracking a target and we're trying to kill somebody, right? And we're trying to kill or capture them. I don't know how you capture somebody with a Hellfire missile, though. That would be an interesting trick. But nonetheless, that's what we were doing. So all of a sudden, boom, something happens. Like, what happened? It looked like the drone. Like, oh my God, where is this thing? Hold on. You'll get to hear this live as it unfolds. Hopefully he'll answer. Why am I hearing static? He's not going to answer. Hi, you've reached the voicemail of... Go away with that. Anyhow, maybe he'll call back. So, all of a sudden, he says, did you see that? And I said, yeah, what happened? He said, it's a drone operators, man. They're not pilots, right? They don't know how to drive that thing. And what happened was, so he's explaining it to me, right? He's got his both of his arms out, and he's flying, right, his hands and shit. And he says, you have to angle the aircraft so the pod can continue to look at this thing. And these guys don't get that. And it's called gimbaling the pod. I'm like, huh? Yeah, gimbaling the pod, write it down. And then he would go off on the drone operators. But they think they're pilots. That's right. That's right. They have wings, too. Pretty soon, that's all we're going to have. No more, like, sexy, kind of weird volleyball games going on. Be a bunch of fat video game operators. No more Iceman, right? Chomping his gum. No more Maverick. Pfft, none of it. The Stars and Stripes, man, they piss me off, though. I'll tell you that right now. Because they are maniacs. They're one of those things that's like, you get 3 free articles a month. You've already reached your limit. Oh, yeah? Well, I haven't reached it in the next browser I'm going to go to. Oh, and lo and behold, next headline, Russia shadows the USS Donald Cook as it returns to the Black Sea. Yeah, the Russians. You think we're going to take your nonsense? No. USS Donald Cook transited the Dardanelles Straits on Tuesday en route to its second Black Sea operation in a month, as Russia again shadows the ship amid growing tensions between Moscow and the West. You know, that's shadowing's gone on forever. We do it to them, they do it to us, blah, 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 blah. Right? Quote, each visit here affords us the unique opportunity to work with our regional maritime partners, said Commander Matthew Powell, commanding officer of the Donald Cook. Yeah, how dare the United States and how dare anybody in the free world transit through international waters? Please. Right? Please. The Russians, man, so tired. Although, Vlad Putin, right, gave a speech, and I don't want to say he got ridiculed, but I want to say that they're making fun of him. Hmm? In spite of his James Bond impersonation. Headline, Putin says Russia will retaliate if U.S. deploys missiles to Europe. Well, wait a minute. You're developing intermediate-range missiles in violation of a treaty you signed. So you expected us to, what, stay in the treaty and play the stupid game that you play? You and your James Bond, Dr. Evil thing you got going? Yes. Sorry. And this is the game they can't have. Why? Because his economy is the size of Canada. That's right. So what does he do? He has to bluster and all this other bullshit. Because he's a little pretend man. With a lot of missiles, right? Moscow, Russian President Vladimir Putin sternly warned the United States against deploying new missiles in Europe, saying Wednesday that Russia will retaliate by fielding new weapons. We already said you had them, that you were already targeting us, that will take just as little time to reach their targets. While the Russian leader didn't say the specific new weapons Moscow could deploy, his statements further raised the ante in tense relationships with Washington. Speaking in his State of the Union address, Putin charged that the U.S. has abandoned a key arms control pact to free up its hand to build new missiles and tried to shift the blame for the move to Russia. Always, right? We're making up that Russians were responsible for throwing nerve gas around you, the United Kingdom, right? All of that. We're making up the Russian attempts to at information operations in the United States. It's all a big falsehood. And this certainly is right in there with it. Our American partners should have honestly said it instead of making unfounded accusations against Russia to justify their withdrawal from the treaty. Putin, man. He went on to say, the missiles that will be deployed by the United States will only take 10 to 12 minutes to reach Moscow. It's a very serious threat to us, and we have to respond. He went on, Russia will be forced to create and deploy new types of weapons that could be used not only against the territories where a direct threat to us comes from, but also against the territories where decision-making centers directing the use of missile systems threaten us are located. The capability of such weapons, including the time to reach those centers, will be equivalent to the threats against Russia. Vladimir Putin standing up for his country. Well done, Vlad. Another story in Stars and Stripes. Nearly 100 aircraft, thousands of troops deployed to Guam for Three Nations COPE North drills. Involving the Air Force, the Navy, the Marine Corps, as well as Japan's Self-Defense Force and Royal Australian aircraft. I love that stuff, right? Love that stuff. All right, we'll do top five stories in Early Bird. Number one. Trump officially organizes the Space Force under the Air Force for now. The Space Force, man. People cannot get enough of it. The Star Trek geeks, man, they're all, what kind of uniform? What kind of shiny boots? What kind of Star Trek salute? Right. Right. President Donald Trump on Tuesday signed a directive centralizing all military space functions under a new space force, which will be overseen by the Department of the Air Force, kind of like the Department of the Navy oversees the United States Navy and the United States Marine Corps. Right? Right. We know that. Right? Because we always get that. You know that the Marine Corps is a Department of the Navy. Yeah, we know that. The men's department. We can't say that anymore. Now that we're gender neutral. Yeah, the masculine. Well, we can't even say that anymore. So I guess we just shrugged out. Yep, we know. While it's technically up to Congress to approve the creation of the Space Force, a sixth military branch that would organize, train, and equip a corps of military space personnel. Oh my God, I can't even believe I'm reading that. Trump signing of the Space Policy Directive 4 marks the first time the administration has made clear how the new service would fit into the existing military infrastructure. Let me play a little audio. Dunford at the podium, right? We'll see if this works. But there's been a little bit of controversy whether the national military strategy that normally very part of the public discourse will be released, that it won't be close hold. So here you have it from Military Times.
The Pentagon's national military strategy is done, but don't expect to see a public version released anytime soon. That's because Joint Chiefs Chairman General Joseph Dunford has ordered it classified so that it wouldn't be limited in what it includes. One unclassified version of the strategy is normally released. The Pentagon says there are no plans to do that right now, but an unclassified description is certainly a possibility.
An unclassified description. What the hell does that mean? There's a lot of stuff going on, and we aim to be ready for the Chinese and the Russians, as well as meeting our commitments worldwide against a global war on terrorism. How about that? Well done, Mac. Number two, ATEC protests loss of key Army helicopter engine competition. The Advanced Turbine Engine Company, ATEC, has lodged a legal protest of the U.S. Army's decision to award a contract for its next-generation helicopter to rival General Electric Aviation, the company disclosed on Tuesday. Why is that a big deal? Slow news day? I'm thinking. So, like, contract stuff? Top five stories? Don't see that very often. Number three. Deployer Get Out starts now. What you need to do to stay in the Air Force. That's right. Airmen who haven't been able to deploy for more than a year, your time may be up. Okay, well, that's why not. Part of the deal, man. You sign the contract, you go away. And if you're non-deployable, you're part of the sick, lame, and crazy, you got to go. And so you can see in the context of that, transgender can't deploy for 7 years. You need to go away. Number four, it just doesn't work for us. Number four, but it's our right. We want to come in and be part of the military, and damn it, we need to be able to change our gender. Yeah, that ain't happening. Hit the bricks, Mickey. Or Minnie, whoever the hell you are today. Come on, there's a little transgender humor in there. Everybody loves that. Four. Yeah, the Mickey Mouse voice made two appearances today. Number four, Turkey says cannot accept U.S. Patriot offer as it stands. Talks continue. This is from Reuters. It is impossible for Turkey to accept the United States offer on purchasing Patriot defense systems as it currently stands, the chairman of Turkey's defense industry directorate said on Wednesday, adding that the talks on issue have continued. Turkey, man. I don't know about the whole turkey thing. Right? Turkey wants to dance with Iran and Russia. Number five, Bernie Sanders launches his 2020 presidential campaign. No longer an underdog. What? This is from National Public Radio. This is from National Public Radio. Good morning, on All Things Considered. This is where we have no humor, and we like to purport ourselves as being smarter than everybody else. That's why we talk in this monotone, because we don't think personality is a good thing for the airwaves. Yes. Now, we're going to talk about the different flavors of green tea this morning and how that's good for your health, and we're going to link that to your goiter. Yes, your goiter, or your grandma's goiter, whatever comes first. I don't know why I started doing all goiter radio, but yeah, NPR. Oh, my God. Can't we be, like, intellectual without being boring? And in a monotone? Have some personality on that song, bitch. Bernie Sanders isn't an underdog? The country's going to elect Bernie Sanders? Interesting. You know, the funniest thing I've seen in the news, I would tell you lately, is Kamala Harris. Right? Or Kamala Harris, however you pronounce it. Anyway, she's a senator for the state, from the state of California, and has announced that she's a nominee for the office of President of the United States. So anyway, Kamala, or Kamala, and that dude who staged his own attack on... That guy in Chicago, right? She, like, blasts out a tweet. This is akin to a modern-day lynching. Right? And then they asked her, now that there's evidence to the contrary, what she has to say. And she said, well, it's an ongoing investigation, and it would be inappropriate for me to comment further, and we'll... when all the facts are in, I'll update my comments. Well, wait a minute. Wasn't it an ongoing investigation when you used the word lynching? I mean, that's a relatively inflammatory word when we talk about things racial in this country. Yes? Next question, please. And then she looks at her press person. Get his ass out of here. So, anyway, absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. It's the same people that, you know, that absolutely annihilated Brett Kavanaugh, right? On not one scintilla of credible evidence. They annihilated that guy. They're the same people that are calling for due process in Virginia. In Virginia, right, where the governors won't say whether he's the guy in the Ku Klux Klan outfit or he's the guy in the blackface. Right? Like, come on. Joke. All right. We're going to take a break. We come back. The Black Helicopter Brothers are going to join me this morning. And it is Wednesday. So Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenny going to join me. More of this fine program coming up next on a day that doing post-traumatic winning. So fired up for that. More of Allmarine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
Woo! All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.